In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
I feel a little bit afflicted today. Every year, I'm reminded of what I call the trifecta of spring, which is that Great Lent typically starts at the same time allergy season starts, and also at the day that we flip our clock forward and lose an hour of sleep. So we are greatly afflicted. Anyways, today we come to Forgiveness Sunday, and the gospel passage focuses on forgiving and saying essentially that if we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, there was a saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And this way, essentially, it was meant to be, in some ways, a restriction, so that we would only take what was just, so that when we fought with people or when we engaged in the seeking of justice, there would be an equal equation, an eye taken, another eye taken. But of course, we know that if we work that way, ultimately, and I'm sure you've heard the phrase that with an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, the whole world ends up blind and toothless. Because ultimately, in that deadlock, in that tit for tat reality, it never really fully ends. The remembrance of wrongs, the resentment, the everlasting frustration with our neighbors, in a world where an eye for an eye is practiced, it never really ends. It always ends it never ends, but it always ends much like our culture says it does, because you know in our culture, especially within the realm of politics, we see that we're essentially told to keep a file cabinet. And in that file cabinet, we file every single grievance that has possibly been committed to us. These grievances in our culture, we're even encouraged to take on as identities, that somehow we would identify with our grievances against other groups, that they would become a fundamental part of us. And so we fight, and we fight, and we argue, and we debate. And it seems as though it's a never-ending spiral and cycle of death, resentment, frustration, and emptiness. There's always some utopia we're fighting for that some idiots are keeping us from obtaining. There's always some thing where if a few people died, it would be so much better. There's always some goal within our culture, never obtainable, but always presented in a way that can keep us engaged in a battle against each other, frustrated and full of hatred. But our Lord says that we are to forgive. And I'm going to assume that you know the many passages in the scriptures about forgiveness. For instance, the parable of the man who was forgiven much debt and how he went and held his servant to account, and then the king held him to account because he did not forgive as he was forgiven. You've heard the passages about turning the other cheek, about if someone sues you in court for your coat, that you would give them your cloak also. You've heard the many passages. In fact, within the Christian faith, at the center of it is the God-man suspended upon a cross, who is said to have died for the sins of the world. Not his own sins. His last words, forgive them. They know not what they do. So in Christian circles, of course, I should say that we shouldn't have a problem with forgiveness, right? Of course. It is the message we live by. However, I know, like I said, I'm going to assume that you've heard all that. You've heard about that, how you're supposed to forgive. Now, feel very bad that you don't, but you're supposed to. I'm glad you know that. The question that many ask is, how do I forgive? How is it that I can forgive somebody for the injuries they've committed against me? Or forgive groups of people for the injuries I think they're doing to the country? Or in the most base crimes and the most devious things that we see in this life, the things that provoke us deep down? How is it? How pragmatically, how do we forgive people? Well, let me give you a psychological answer and then a spiritual answer. Psychology, of course, is within creation. It's the study of our mind and our, you know, it's just human beings, falling human beings. So these are a few techniques that are helpful to some, not helpful to everybody, but they may help unhinge you from your remembrance of wrongs. One is that when someone sins against us, that we consider where they're coming from. Oftentimes, one of the problems we have is that we judge other people. As Paul says, do not judge anyone because they have one judge, as we heard in the epistle today. But we judge other people and we say, how could they do such a thing? How could they be that way? Well, one technique is trying to understand where other people are coming from. To try to put ourselves in their feet, their shoes. To try to, again, psychologically, to try to make excuses for them. That excuse may be something as, well, they weren't raised the way I was raised. That could be a little condescending. However, making excuses for people, if they knew the effect of what they did and what it caused, perhaps they would have chose not to do that. In these psychological ways, we can get out of the bind that we're in when we are trying to directly fight and face those who sin against us. We can also look at ourselves. Have I ever sinned in this way? Have I ever been rude like this? Have I ever done anything remotely close to what these people or this person has done to me? 9 out of 10 times, yes, absolutely. Because we all sin in basically the same way. These are the psychological answers to kind of open up our soul to the possibility that our neighbor is not our enemy, and that even if they are our enemy, they have a good reason, and that we should love them, and that somehow we should make excuses for them. Psychology fails, however, because if you have ever been deeply wounded, you'll know that these mere techniques aren't really enough to change your heart. I mean, you can feel a little better towards somebody, but when the pain hits, which is profound sometimes, it is almost impossible to forget, or even for a lot of us to even want to forgive what some people have done, especially when it strikes the core of our being. So let's transition to the spiritual. One spiritual way, and a good spiritual way, is to recognize that you don't want to forgive or that you can't forgive, and note that you can't forgive, but to fall down and pray. And to ask God to give you a spirit that would be forgiving. You see, Jesus never said that we could accomplish the gospel or his commandments in and of our own energy. He never said just muster it up or pretend that you've forgiven somebody and just move on. He never said just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can do it. But he does say, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if you come to your psychological end, you cry out from the depths of your soul, Lord, give me the spirit, give me a spirit, give me a forgiven spirit. Help this sin to be forgiven. Help reconcile me with the person in this broken relationship. Secondarily, aside from that, and of course, with this prayer, you can also go to confession. We mentioned that last week, that sometimes confessing the sin of unforgiveness looses people. They're spiritually loosed to be more forgiven. They have revelations that change their hearts. Only God can really fully change our hearts. So that is one spiritual answer. Another spiritual answer, which also mixes with the psychological, is to pray for them, to pray for those who hurt us and use us wrongfully. In praying for people, we are less likely to objectify them, but we are also more likely to have the grace of the Holy Spirit come to our hearts and transform us, as instead of cursing our enemies, we begin to bless them and ask God to heal the relationship, the break that is between us. These are some very pragmatic hows, psychologically and spiritually, of how to learn to forgive. As kind of a final statement, I'll say that we should also be patient, because forgiveness doesn't always come. You see, in this world, we're often very hard as stones. We're bashing against each other, and all to some sort of purpose, with God orchestrating it so that our hearts can be made soft, so that we can come to different understandings, so that we can grow spiritually. And frankly, it just takes time. It takes time to heal. It takes time for God to work on our hearts. It takes time to act for us to actually love our enemies. But God honors us if we try. And of course, you've heard that you should, and that this is what is commanded of you by the Lord. So as we go through Forgiveness Sunday, as we eventually get to the Forgiveness Vespers, let's check within our hearts. Do we have remembrance of wrongs? Are we part of the problem in society and in our relationships? Are we the people holding the grudges, judging one another? Are we the people who are always ready for a fight, always ready to be right, and always resentful of those who come against us in any sort of way? And if we are those people, we need to repent and ask for healing and do all those pragmatic things that I mentioned. If we are Christian, then we will seek to forgive. May God help us and loose us from our judgments and loose us from our lack of forgiveness. May He unbind us from the blindness of resentment and the fury of the remembrance of wrongs, so that we can live in love towards one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.